over there to Colossians 2, 8 to 12. The blessings of our salvation, a series we've been looking at, as Dr. Chafer, who started Dallas Seminary, listed, I think, 33 things, if I have the number correct, of things that were instantaneously true of you the minute you believed in Jesus. Didn't know it probably at the time, and you learned these things over the years. Colossians 2, 9. The reference is to Jesus in the context as he's seated there at the right hand of the Father in heaven above. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He's still the God-man, and he will always be the God-man. Henceforth, from the moment of his conception throughout the endless ages of eternity future, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He is fully God and fully man, one person. And in him you have been made complete. Note that line. In him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. We could read on. The line that we're interested in him you have been made complete. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross as believers, it can now be said about us that we are, in fact, complete in him. I'm sure a lot of us feel like we lack in this area. We're not what we ought to be in that area. We need improvement over here. And we used to be better and we're in decline or making some progress, but we wish for perfection. Well, this text says that at least as a positional reality, it can be said about us that we are complete in him. This is a known fact based on this text that we just read, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. As Lewis Berry Chafer said about that himself, what may be included in the word complete is beyond the range of human understanding. Again, what may be included in the word complete is beyond the range of human understanding. I'm not sure we will ever fully get it, even in eternity, as during the endless ages of eternity, he will show us all about the grace that we have freely received and will never tire of it. Chafer adds that though it is beyond the range of human understanding, it is not beyond the range of human acceptance or belief, since it is declared so in the Word of God. We just read it. You are complete in him. The reference is, of course, to people who put their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. At that moment, in some sense, each and every one of us is complete in him. What does it mean that we are complete in him? Well, it means that because we are in him, in a vital union or living relationship, the believer partakes of all that Christ is. Ponder that for a minute. Because we're in a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we as believers partake of all that Christ is. In his perfect humanity. We never take his divine attributes, obviously, for ourselves. But in the perfection of his humanity, we partake in all of that. It does include the perfection that we are made in the image of God, for example. And that has to do with our capacity to rule, not yet fully realized in practice. We do not yet see all things subject to man, the author to the Hebrews says. But we're anticipating the day when all things will be subject to man and will have that place that God had in mind for us when he made us in his image, man having dominion over the earth. So that will be realized, at least in some believers, in the millennial reign itself. 2 Timothy 2:12 says that if we endure, we will also reign with him. That doesn't tell you how you get in the kingdom. You get in the kingdom simply by believing in Jesus for eternal life. But what position you're going to have in the kingdom depends to some extent on how you live as believers in this life. But the completion that we're talking about here, and when we say we're complete in Him, happens 100% totally at the moment of faith for all believers, and it does not depend on conduct. It happens at that moment when we believe, and we are declared righteous. And God writes or imputes to our heavenly account ledger in heaven above the righteousness of His dear Son, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. At that moment, we were born again, made alive spiritually. We were made alive together with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 says so. We were made partakers of the divine nature. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. His seed, a living entity, His seed is now in us. 1 John 3, 9. And we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And this new creation, this new self or new man, as it reads in the Greek text, is sinlessly perfect because it is in the very likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Ephesians 4, 24. So as Chafer concludes in his short note, to be complete in Christ is a glorious reality and is a portion of that grace which is extended to all who believe. It is thrilling for me, therefore, to anticipate the day when the perfect person that I am in Christ Jesus in position will become the person that I am in experience. Think of it. The perfect person that you and I are as believers in Jesus, we're going to be in conduct one day. Even now, if I do what is right, it is an expression of that new person, that new man that I am in Christ Jesus. But when I sin as a believer, it is an expression of the person that I was prior to my salvation, the old man who will continue to exist until this body is touched by redemption. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, where he talks about our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. At that point, the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Romans 8, 21 to 22. Imagine the day when the person that you are in Christ Jesus, He's embedded in there somewhere, will become the person that you are in thought, word, and deed, and you'll never again sin. Never again sin. You never have to use 1 John 1:9. Ever again. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a present reality, and we ought to use it because we still sin. But one day we will sin no longer, and 1 John 1:9 will have no more practical application, if you please. I want to ask the men who will be helping to serve to come now.